Welcome. Welcome to the porch on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. This is where we get back to basics, the red letter basics. By following the example of the Book of Acts Church, taking a deeper look into their service to the kingdom of God, we find the church the Lord intended, not the one that man created. Our desire has always been to restore the priesthood of the believer and regain the world shaking influence that the early church had, because the church age is not over. What happened in the upper room back then is as much for today as it was on the day of Pentecost. If you'd like to be a part of that, then stay with us on this journey as we get back to basics. We've been on it for a while. We're not there yet. If you have any questions, go to firefalltalkradio.com, use the contact button. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. If you would like to support us, support what we do on Firefall Talk Radio, go to firefalltalkradio.com, bottom of the page. There are multiple ways to support us. If you need more information, just reach out. We'll be glad to answer. Welcome to all of our listeners from the various streaming platforms. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of the porch. If you need prayer or you want to pray for others, just let us know. We'll plug you in. Sending a prayer email out this weekend. So if you have a prayer request, please get it to us before then. We care about you. We want to pray for you. Make sure you subscribe to us wherever you listen, as well as on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you would like the weekly scriptures that give you a list of every scripture that's in the Bible study, let us know, send us a message, and I will include you when it goes out on Wednesday. Make sure you've received yours. Please confirm it. I want to make sure that everyone that wants it is getting it. Aerial support, please keep it up. Keep going. We appreciate you and what you're doing. We count on you. Starting out with praise reports. Well, first of all, I praise him for my salvation. Without that, I have nothing. I am nothing. And it is everything to me. And because of that, he gave me back my family. He gave me a calling. I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I have love. I have grace. And I have the Lord. I thank him for my home, for my wife, for our family, for our furry kids, for everything we have comes from him. All good things come from him. Praise him for his protection, his angelic covering, for this ministry that he allows me to work with him for you. I thank him for you. I do. I appreciate each and every one of you. I thank him for the dreams and the visions and all that he has been showing. I think in the coming days, I will be sharing with you things that I've been hearing and seeing that he has released me to talk about. I praise him for the healing virtues that he has offered us. They are always there. His promises are yea and amen. They don't go away. So I praise him right now for healing you and whatever your need is, in whatever part, heart, mind, body, soul, or spirit, natural or supernatural, whatever your need is right now. I pray for it, and I just say, believe it and receive it in Yeshua's name. I praise him for the ability to praise him, to speak his name, to know that he knows me by name, because I am born again, a renewed spirit man. I praise him for the signs of the times. I see them, I understand them, and I believe that he's getting ready to return. Therefore, we should get ready. So I praise him for the coming kingdom and the new Jerusalem, which reminds me always to pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace, shalom, be within you. So I pray for Israel. I pray for all that they're going through. I pray for the fact that the world turns against them, that they get attacked, their people get brutalized, horrific, demonic things happen to them, but they can't do anything about it. And we know what that's all about. So I just pray that they'll stay the course, finish the job, rescue their people, get those bodies back so those families can have closure. And I just pray for God's hand to be upon them. Pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents, the martyrs, the victims of injustice, all those that have been attacked and besieged because they know and love him. He hates injustice, and this is the world filled with it. We must stand and pray against it. Pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me, my wife, my family, in each and every one of you. I sincerely believe we can and should and will get back to our divine design. We need to pray, believing that that would happen, that we would be healed, that we would be whole. I pray for his protection, that Psalm 91 covering that is offered to us that we can walk in every day. Pray for the fire and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be within us. And that doing so, the remnant would rise up, answer the call to action, to do what needs to be done in these days for the kingdom of God, that those that have been blessed would be a blessing so that we can be a blessing. We can be a conduit of those blessings. I pray for combined prayers that we would come together in unity to put demonic armies to flight, to put them on the run. Instead of being reactive, we can be proactive. Holy Spirit empowered prayers focused like lasers upon the enemy, upon the kingdom of darkness, that we would become more unified and aggressive in our efforts against the schemes of the fallen, that we would confront the enemy with confidence, with purpose, and with his power. That Psalm 91 protection, that supernatural ability to stand under the shadow of his wings, knowing who he is by name, knowing that his angels will lift us up, and that we have been given authority to tread upon the lion and the cobra, to put them underfoot. I pray for edification, Holy Spirit encouragement, that inspiration, so that we can rise up for the kingdom of God as the kingdom of God, operating efficiently in the calling, exposing the enemy, seeking the lost, helping the dying, freeing those in bondage. So, Father, we love you. We thank you, Abba. We thank you and love you and praise you and worship you. There is none like you. Thank you for loving us, for sending Yeshua, your only begotten Son, to set us free, to shed his blood, to destroy the work of the enemy, to break the chains of bondage. Lord, thank you. Thank you, King of kings, Lord of lords, Savior, Master, Redeemer, Friend. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, for sending back the Holy Spirit, who we're going to talk about tonight, and what you did and why you did it, that he would walk with us, that he would guide us, that he would teach us. And I pray for that tonight, Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh, I pray that you have your way. Do whatever you want to do with us collectively and individually. Take over at any time. Touch each and every heart and mind. Open it up. Let them receive what they need to receive. Let them have what you desire them to have and to know. Most of all, I pray that they would know how much he loves them, that their hearts would feel it, and they would accept it. So we pray against the powers of darkness. We pray against everything that the enemy would do to disrupt our time together, to interfere with this word. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No word spoken shall stand. And every enemy, natural or supernatural, that rises up against us shall fall in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. Bless this time. Let his word go forth in Yeshua's name. Amen.
These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information.
All right, get those Bibles open, open your hearts and your minds, be prepared to receive. One of my favorite quotes from A.W. Tozer is, "The Spirit-filled life is not a special, deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for His people." It's there. It's been given to us. We need to accept it and receive it. 2 Corinthians 1, starting verse 20, "For all the promises of God in Him," capital H, "are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Messiah has anointed us is God." Let me say that again. "Now He who establishes us with you in Messiah and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." It is God the Father, Abba, who seals the believer and gives us the pledge of the Spirit as our guarantee. He has appropriated us and certified us as His and has given us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts as a pledge, like a security deposit, to guarantee the fulfillment of His promise of eternal life. Ephesians 1, starting verse 13, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." We who believed and trusted in the Lord as Savior and accepted the gospel were sealed in the Spirit. We are His. We are marked. But there comes a responsibility with that. Ephesians 4:30 warns us, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We've been sealed by and with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Don't violate that or break relationship with the Spirit, because it's what connects us to the Lord in the throne room. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the confirmation of baptism to seal believers and only believers. The world does not understand this, nor can they understand it. Stop expecting them to. Stop acting like they should. Stop using phrases and things with unsaved people, because they don't understand what you're saying. And more than anything, you're creating confusion and blockages to them getting saved. We have something special. Since the day of Pentecost, we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Remember John 14, verses 16 and 17. Red letters means Yeshua said it. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Look at the end of verse 17. "Will be in you." Stop looking for an external manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And stop listening to people that preach and teach about an external manifestation of the Spirit. They don't know what they're talking about. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, "But the natural man, earthly, fleshly, secular man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, and it's one thing to know that they know they don't know him, but don't rub their faces in it. Don't act like you're something special because you do. All that does is create a hindrance and wounds that'll keep them from wanting it. Be gentle. Speak the truth in love. But an unredeemed mind, one that has not been transformed, has not been born again, cannot receive, use, or benefit from the things of the Spirit. So this scripture, John 14, verses 16 and 17, connects the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as one working together. It's pretty clear. Working together for what? They're working together for the building of the kingdom of God and for the promotion of the Lord. Nothing else and no one else. I will ask the Father, Yeshua says, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, a standby, that he may remain with you forever. That's what abide means. He's not coming and going. Once he's there, he's staying. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, will welcome him to take it into heart, into their heart, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. When we receive Messiah and become born again, the Holy Spirit comes to abide permanently within us. Remember, inside out, that's the walk that we're supposed to have. Inside out. There's not this constant flow. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Wait a second. Why are you singing and praying for the Holy Spirit to come? If we're all born again, he's already here. I look back on some of the songs I used to sing, even some of the Christian worship songs that I used to sing while working out, and I realized, wait a second. This is Old Testament thinking. This is Old Testament theology. He's already in me. He's walking with me. I am a nuclear reactor. I am a capacitor holding that power inside of me. It's always there because he's always there. Luke 24:49, Yeshua says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Wait, settle down, sit until I send you this power that's going to soak into you and be there permanently. Luke 24:49 is telling us that the promise of the Father, which is what? The Holy Spirit, will come upon you, which it did in the upper room with the tongues of fire. And they will be fully equipped, clothed with power from on high. Fully equipped. How is the church going to be effective in doing this great commission without the equipping and the infilling of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is the source of our strength for effective evangelism. You want to know why? Because when the Spirit's in you, it reminds you of Yeshua. It reminds you of what he said and what he did. It reminds you of the love of the Father, and you can't help but talk about it. So the promise of the Father stresses that the Spirit's coming is not an afterthought. It's an integral part of his eternal will. It wasn't like, oh, by the way, since you're in the family now, I should give you this. No. It was his intention all along to give us that. He prophesied about it. This is what's coming. Joel 2, 28 and 29, the thing that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. This is that. And that word endued conveys the picture of one being clothed with complete enablement in God, with God. Because the calling to go and make disciples and set the captives free is so important that it embeds itself in us. How does the church not see that? Oh, well, Richard, you got that. You got that. You're walking in it. I don't have that. Yeah, you do. You need to let it out. You need to turn it loose. Because if you don't, we have a problem. John 14, 12 through 14, which sets up the previous statement that I read to you in 16 and 17. Most assuredly, the Lord says, I say to you, he who believes in me, meaning him, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he or she will do also. And greater works than these he will do, he or she, just take the he as a generic, not as a gender, he or she will do, because I go to the Father. I'm going to the Father, and when I get there, I'm sending something back. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We receive power. Dunamis, that's the Greek word for power. Dynamic, explosive power. Not just a little trickle. Not just a little spark, not a little pzzz. It's explosive power. And we are continually empowered as long as we don't hinder or grieve the Spirit. As long as we are connected to the Lord in the throne room, there is a constant flow of power. Assuredly, most solemnly, I tell you, the Lord says, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. I know I've told you this. It's in the book, The Supernatural Battle. That's the scripture that began to open everything up for me. I think it was January of 2007, after we lost our beloved Rottweiler, Samson, after the enemy killed him, and I was so upset and so angry. And then I spent the next 3 months of 2007 with the Lord in the Spirit. The scripture that began to open it up for me was that scripture, greater things shall you do, John 14, 12. And I sat there thinking, greater things? Where are those greater things? What, every now and then somebody gets healed? Every now and then a demon gets cast out, or somebody has a word of prophecy or something? Every now and then? No. Where are these greater things? So I wanted to know why. I wanted to know why we weren't living up to our potential. It can't be his problem. It's got to be ours. The Nelson Study Bible says Yeshua had accomplished the greatest works possible, including raising the dead. How could he say that believers would do greater works? The answer is seen in the extent of what the apostles did. Yeshua's work on earth was confined to Jerusalem, but the apostles would preach everywhere and see the conversion of thousands. Peter's message at Pentecost brought more followers to Yeshua than did Jesus' entire earthly ministry. The disciples were able to do this work because Messiah would go to the Father and send the Holy Spirit to empower them. He was our example. He was the prototype that we were built from, the perfect, perfect prototype that we replicate. The New Living Translation Study Bible says Yeshua promised that anyone who believes in him would perform great miracles and experience answers to their prayers. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's the key. If you want to underline anything according to his will, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. These things became possible because Yeshua went to the Father, sat down at his right hand, connected us to the Father in the throne room, sent back the Spirit as a, gosh, I wish I knew what the term was, on the other side of the transmission. Maybe we'll call it a modem that received it, and the church being the router dispersed it. He sent the Holy Spirit back so that we could get the job done. That's what this has been all about. And that's why the enemy has fought so hard to interfere with that, to make people think, oh, that doesn't happen anymore. When John the last apostle died, all of that ended. The church age is over. And thank you for playing. Pick up your parting gifts on the way out. You didn't play very well, by the way. You should have known better. All you had to do was read the Bible. You would have had the answer. The greater works will not undo Yeshua's works. They will not outdo his works. That's what I meant to say. Not undo, but outdo. We can't outdo him. But we can expand upon it. But regular people, empowered by the Spirit, will be doing them. In the era of the Spirit, the NLT Study Bible says, God promised to bring his kingdom and power into the world in a way it had not seen before. That's why they turned the world upside down. That's why everything they did that we read about in the books of Acts, book of Acts, is so tremendous, so inspiring. They were just people that believed, received, and went and did something with it. Whoever believes, whoever has faith, remember what he said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will happen. You can break the laws of quantum physics. You can break the laws of thermodynamic science and change particles and do miraculous things if you believe. And if it furthers the kingdom, and that works, greater works shall you do. In the Greek, ergon, E-R-G-O-N, means deeds, means acts, action, dunamis action. It's translated as works 152 times and deeds 22 times. So it's pretty clear to me that he's referring to miracles, healings, signs, wonders, and mighty acts of divine power. His works? Well, let's say, he healed all manner of sickness, disease, he cast out demons, raised the dead, cleansed lepers, and delivered innumerable people from the works of Satan. That's what the Bible is there for. It's not just to tell you a story. It's to inspire you. It's to confirm him. Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24. And Yeshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And then his fame went throughout all Syria, And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. That's an interesting that scripture, verse 24, it clearly delineates demon-possessed from diseases, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Yes, there are times what's wrong with people will be supernatural. There are other times that it'll just be natural. There'll be times that they're connected together, and you need to discern which is which. One of the things I saw early on that I fell prey to, but got out of it pretty quickly, is, oh, everything's demonic. They have a spirit of this and a spirit of that, a spirit of this and a spirit of that. Oh, wait a second here. Is this natural? Is this hereditary? Is this something that's already in their body that's been passed down? Then it's a sickness, not a demonic torment. You need to discern. That's where the infilling of the Holy Spirit gives you words of wisdom, gives you knowledge, gives you what you need to do to be effective and not look foolish. Because I'm sorry, these people look foolish. You are a blemish upon the body. You make us a joke. Get your act together. Mark 1, verses 38 and 39, he said to them, let's go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Gee, I wonder why that was. Signs and wonders follow the word. The demonic don't like the word. When an anointed, spirit-filled word is spoken, they manifest. And when they manifest, you can cast them out. It's that simple. You've been delegated the authority. When they overplay their hand, when they come out into the open, you've got them. Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. Then Yeshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, meaning the multitudes of people that were sick and had diseases and demonic bondage, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Compassion empowered him. We should have that compassion to go out, to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to tell them about Yeshua, that they can be free, that they can repent, that they can spend eternity with their Heavenly Father. Acts 10, verses 34 through 38. Peter's preaching in Cornelius' household. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. Jumping down to verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify, that is, he who was ordained by God, that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness through his name. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, that means the Jews, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. He was speaking. He was talking about Yeshua being Messiah. He was doing what he was told to do, and the Spirit fell. He didn't touch him. He didn't pray for him. The Spirit fell because at the moment, as he was speaking, I believe that their hearts believed. And when that happened, it created a reaction in the spirit realm that allowed the Spirit to go to them and to change them. Stop manipulating people. Stop trying to cajole them and argue with them or convince them. Just tell them the truth. Tell them about Jesus. Why he came. What he died for. What he did. And you know what's interesting, and I heard somebody else say this, and unfortunately at the moment I can't remember who it was. Somebody pointed out, do you notice that the disciples never talk to the world about the love of Jesus and the love of God? They only do that to believers. But they didn't go out and tell them, oh, Jesus loves you. Why don't you come in? No, repent. Judgment is coming. Savior has been here. Make him your Savior. Give up your sins. Turn your back on your old ways. The love will come then. But stop manipulating people with false messages. Just tell the truth. Speak the word. And we know from that word, Yeshua controlled the elements. He multiplied food. He broke the laws of physics and science. He multiplied food. He walked on water. He restored a severed ear, put it back on, turned water into wine. He accomplished anything he decided to do in the material and the spiritual realms while he was still in his earthly body. He's the prototype of our greater things. If he did it, so can we. And it's always there. It's always flowing. It hasn't stopped. John 7, verse 37 through 39, on the last day of the great feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For this Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. The nonstop flow of the Spirit without measure or limitations flows from him to us. I want you to start picturing it that way. Not momentary, not a drip or a drab or a little dabble, do you? That it's always flowing from him to you. And if you are receiving, it can go through you to someone else. It will do what he desires it to do. The Dake Annotated Reference Bible says, to make this a promise of spiritual works only when he did material and spiritual works is a poor excuse for unbelief. To make it refer to saving souls is to ignore facts, because he did this also. To limit it to the works of the apostles will rob other believers of the benefits of the promise. This is a clear attack on cessationalism, that the gifts of the Spirit ceased. And I believe those that teach that, those preachers that teach that, are making an excuse for why they don't move in the Spirit. where the power doesn't move through them. Well, the reason for that is it's not there anymore. No, that's not it. That's not it. Take your nonsense and go back to Dallas Theological Seminary. Take it back with you, because it's not doing us any good. It's not doing the world any good. You're not bringing the greater works that he was talking about. Those greater works doesn't mean having access to more people through radio and television and the internet or the printed page. That's natural. Those are natural means that can be used by unsaved men who don't have or know the Holy Spirit or have his power. So stop acting like, well, these are the greater works. No, that's just natural manipulation. You've used techniques. You've used worldly processes. We're talking about an otherworldly process. He doesn't say greater power, but greater outcomes from the inherent power of the Holy Spirit, which is already great. Let me say that again. This is me talking. He doesn't say greater power, but greater outcomes, greater works from the inherent power of the Holy Spirit without measure, which cannot be matched. No one, no man, no woman, I don't care who you are, can receive greater power than Messiah had, because he received the Spirit without measure. John chapter 3, starting verse 34, this is John the Baptist speaking. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Remember what the prophet Isaiah said. Chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, which is the scroll Yeshua read from in the church synagogue. I'm sorry, excuse me. Rewind. In the synagogue in Nazareth, in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's the calling. That's the gospel. All things, all these things have been given to us by him from the Father through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to keep banging this drum over the next few months, and I don't even know how long it's going to go, because this is where we are right now. We are in a time where this is needed. Each believer who has received can have equal power with Messiah to do what he did, as well as greater things when the occasion requires it and he desires it. It's all about him. It's all about promoting the kingdom. It's all about destroying the kingdom of darkness. It's not about building our own. It's not about lifting ourselves up. I am so sick and tired and offended by those that are building their own kingdoms, that are drawing attention to themselves, that have taken to social media to promote themselves as if they're something special. Hey, get over it. He used a donkey to stop the madness of a prophet. I don't care how much you dress it up, or lighting and clothing and makeup and smoke and mirrors. You ain't all that. All authority, he said, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. Take this. Go. Go. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you to do. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All the things I've commanded you to do. Gee, Lord, what have you told us to do? You told us to go, make disciples, set the captives free, preach the word, signs and wonders will follow, and he'll come with us. He didn't tell us to go build buildings. He didn't tell us to print T-shirts. He didn't tell us to do all these other things. Just come on, let's get back to basic. Let's destroy the work of the enemy. Let's shine the light into the darkness. Prophecy is good if it inspires you to understand that he's coming soon and what the enemy's doing so that you go out and do it. If all prophecy inspires you to do is to sit around like many do and talk about prophecy, conferences are filled with them, DVDs are filled with them, what is that doing? It's not getting anybody saved, healed, and delivered. And as I told two very popular people who have a huge following, What's going to happen at the end when the enemy manifests, when they're on the earth, when these things are out and about and anywhere from 10 to 15, 20 feet tall, and they should be confronted in the power of the Holy Spirit? They're going to fling your DVDs at them? Is that going to be their weapon of choice? Maybe drop some of your books on their head? We need to stop the nonsense. That scripture about the Great Commission comes from Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. As believers, we have been given the ability and the honor to carry out the full program of the gospel. That's it, the gospel. In worldwide works of power, to even a greater degree than Messiah did. He said it, I tell you the truth. If anyone believes in me, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father, not to himself, not to you, but to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Because I go to my Father, I will not be here to continue my works or do greater ones. So, I will give my power to my disciples to carry on where I stopped. And they will do the greater things that I would have done had I been here and had I continued. And I will give them authority and see to it that my work is carried on through them. That's what he's telling us. That's what he said. He said it. He meant it. I believe it. In the book, The Holy Spirit by Charles Ryrie, he says, the permanent and universal among all believers indwelling ministry of the Spirit is at the heart of the distinctiveness of the Spirit's works in this church age. Although he did live within some people, in the Old Testament, that indwelling was neither permanently guaranteed nor universally experienced by all believers. It was also the focus of our Lord's promise to his disciples concerning the ministry of the Spirit after his departure from earth, which John 14:17. Also, the doctrine of the indwelling is foundational to the other ministries the Spirit performs today. Today, the Holy Spirit lives in Christians only. And he does so in all Christians. Well, you know what? This wasn't even well known in the church of that day. Because even back then, Paul had to remind believers that this was a fact. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In 1 Corinthians 6, starting verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality, it was easy for you to say, Richard. No, it wasn't, but you did well. You tried. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Now, if you don't understand that, you need to read the book or watch some of the videos. When two people come together, two people become one. Everything that is you merges with everything that is them, and you have defiled yourself from the inside out. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, proceeds from the Father, literally emanates, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price, a very painful, very expensive, very bloody price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But you see, for whatever reason, we have a problem with this. Because if you go to Acts 19, which we will be doing right now, Paul's in Ephesus. Apollos goes to Corinth. So, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus, and he finds disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they looked at him and said, what? I don't know. They didn't really say that. But if it was a Pixar movie, that's what they would have said. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. So Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Messiah Yeshua. They forgot the part where he said, in Holy Spirit and fire. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Adonai Yeshua, Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Remember, Peter spoke and it fell. This time Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit went into them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Well, it's still necessary to instruct believers of today that this is true. Too often, God's people seem to think that the Spirit comes and goes, and that this erratic, unusually unpredictable behavior of the Spirit is often based on individual feelings. This is Ryrie talking. Nevertheless, the truth of the Spirit's indwelling does not depend on our feeling or knowing that it's true. The certainty is proved through the gifts and all the signs. It's proved by the word, but the fact is, this coming and going, Holy Spirit come, let the Spirit fall, blah, 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 blah. Read your Bibles. That's Old Testament thinking. Spirit fell on them. Spirit's already in me. I think that's why I do what I do. I don't think I know. That's why I can do what I do in the Lord. I know it's in there. I know he's in there. I'm constantly working on that. I'm constantly praying about it. I'm constantly feeding it with the word. And I'm walking in it. And I'm keeping it active. And I'm stoking the fire. And I'm keeping it flowing. Instead of walking around thinking, well, the Spirit will come when I need it. No, Spirit is already there. And just like the believers in Ephesus, we have an inadequate understanding of our faith and what we do. Those guys didn't even receive the Spirit. until Paul laid hands on them. And this is 26 years after the fact. They were baptized, repenting from sin. But they'd not received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand. Remember, you've been sealed in the Spirit and given the guarantee that your debts are cleared, but you forgot the gift that came with it. You know, when you open up a bank account, they give you gifts. We were given a gift. Pick it up. Use it. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Same things that the disciples did on the day of Pentecost. A continuation of the flow of the Spirit that began in the upper room. It still goes on today. And there will be no greater things than this. There'll be stranger things. You know, we have stranger things, and they get stranger every day. But there'll be no greater things than this without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Father, Son, Holy Spirit working together. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, that the Lord sent back from the Father. But one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Those men had repented 26 years ago, but all they knew was the water baptism. They had not completed the process. They were stuck in the process. You know, when you put a software in and that wheel just spins and the process never goes forward and it never gets downloaded and it never gets completed so that it can't ever be used properly. That's the disciples of John the Baptist versus the disciples of the Lord. And he showed me that this is a symptom of the church today. We're still doing that. Another thing A.W. Tozer said about the Holy Spirit, it is one thing to read about being filled with the Holy Spirit and quite another thing to experience the mighty infilling of the Spirit that radically changes our life to a life of adoring wonder and amazement at the things of God. Reading and experiencing are two quite different things. And that's what I do sometimes when I deal with people that want to challenge what I say. You have knowledge, I have experience. I also have knowledge, but all you have is knowledge. You have no experience. You're still thinking like the world. You're still thinking like Paul says in Romans 8, starting verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the human, secular, fleshly mind, is enmity. It's hatred against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Remember, he's speaking to the church. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Wow, Paul, what are you saying? What do you really mean there, Paul? Are you saying that if they are born again and the Spirit is actually in them, they can't act fleshly? And if they are, we have a problem? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he is not his. Wow, you're really going for it here, Paul. And if Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if, Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of Him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, abides in you, He who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's the other scripture that inspires me to pray for going back to my divine design. For my cells on every fourth day, it creates a new cell. A cell lives 3 days, it dies, but right behind him on the assembly line is another cell exactly like it. I pray that that fourth cell isn't like the one before it, isn't like the one that I got through my ancestry or because of things I did or whatever. I want it to be one that goes back to its divine design. So as each one comes forward, what's my liver, my heart, my mind, my skin, whatever, is going back to how He created me. But as believers, we should no longer live according to the flesh, in control of our human nature, our sinful human nature, and churches are filled with people like that. Instead, with the Spirit living in us and empowering us, we can live in a way that pleases God. And living in a way that pleases God means to be filled with walking with the Spirit so that we can do the greater things that He said for the kingdom of God. Folks, this is the journey we're about to go on, to get these things in order, to get these things stirred up, so that when you pray for someone, whatever you pray for happens. So that if there's anything in you that's not of Him, that's hiding somewhere, that's in a back closet, in a box somewhere, things that just are staying silent, not moving until an opportune time, they won't be able to stand the heat. They won't be able to stand the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they will flee from you. They will come out of you. And there are a lot of people getting behind microphones and in front of cameras who think they're completely delivered and set free and aren't. They are not. We're not going to be like that. So, Father, I come to you in the name of your Son for the completeness of what you began in us, that the work, the good work that you began in us, you will complete until the day of the Lord, until the day Messiah returns. We are in process. And let nothing hinder that process. Let nothing hinder that transformation. I speak to my brothers and sisters right now, and I say, Holy Spirit, search them like antivirus software in a computer. Search them for any hidden malware, any false teachings, any corrupted areas that the enemy has taken over, and purge them, so that you can take them over and fill them to completeness, that they can walk in the Spirit, that they can do the greater things, so that we can go set the captives free and shake this world one last time before you come back, Lord. I pray that. I pray that this word would be burned into their hearts and their minds and would give them a burning desire for this, to have those greater things happen to them and through them. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord, may Adonai, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord, Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.